Amen. That was a blessing. Thank you to all those that have had a part in the music ministry over Easter weekend, for those that have had a part in these special items, and also the choir ministry. Thank you to all those of you involved in the choir ministry. Your labour is not in vain in the Lord. We appreciate it. And to be ministered in song is a blessing. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, please. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. Jesus Christ is at the heart of Christianity, and as I mentioned last Sunday evening in beginning this little series on the person and work of Jesus Christ, we have four Gospels that are devoted to the person and work of Christ during his earthly ministry. And we have the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that have much in common. And then you have the Gospel of John that has some commonality with the other Gospels, but minimal compared to the other three. Yet all present Jesus Christ as the Saviour of the world and Lord of all. This evening I'd like to look at the last stage in the ministry of our Lord. And in doing so, I'd like to begin by reading the Gospel of John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. The Gospel of John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. It reads, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which was born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your precious word. And thank you for this occasion, this weekend, that we can formally remember your death, burial, and resurrection. We pray as we spend these few moments in your word that you will teach us and guide us and encourage us. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. The gospel teachings concerning the person and work of Christ can be basically divided up into six stages. The first stage, our Lord's eternal past and his part in creation, and that's spelled out here within these verses. Stage one. Stage two, his entrance into the world. What we refer to as his incarnation. God became flesh, spelled out there in verse number 14, and we beheld his glory. And after some 30 years, he begins his public ministry, and this begins the third stage, the main stage, and the stage of which much, if not most, of the gospel content is devoted to. his public ministry from the age of approximately 30 years of age, where he ministered and he proved his divinity in word, in deed. And at the same time, he trained 12 men, disciples, and he invested in these men. The fourth stage in the life and work of Jesus Christ took a whole week to complete, beginning with his formal presentation as the Messiah, known as the triumphal entrance into Jerusalem, or Palm Sunday, and leading us to the crucifixion, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That is the fourth stage, and much of the end part of the Gospels are devoted to that last week of our Lord. Stage four. This morning we noted stage five, his resurrection, and we summed up stage five as the consummation of his mission, where the Lord Jesus proved his purpose in coming. He died, was buried, and he rose again. And he was witnessed many times. He was witnessed by many over a period of 40 days. He was seen by women. He was seen by men. He was seen by his own disciples. At one time, he was witnessed by a group of no less than 500 individuals. His resurrection, the fifth main stage in the life and ministry of our Lord Jesus. The last stage is what we refer to as the post-resurrection stage. This involves his commissioning, the commissioning of the 12, that group of men that he has invested some 3 years into. And then his ascension, his return back to heaven. So let's take a few moments this evening and just note some of the main events that take place post-resurrection. The Gospel of John, chapter 21, please. The Gospel of John, chapter 21. The last chapter of the Gospel of John. Jesus Christ, in fulfilling the will of God the Father, spent some 3 years preparing his disciples to carry on the work. But before his departure, he passes the baton to his disciples to carry out his great commission. So let's note some principles concerning the commission and his ascension, that last main stage, stage six in the life and ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. Note here in John chapter 21, we note that the Lord Jesus appears to seven of the disciples. Let's read verses 1 to 6, please, of chapter 21. The Bible reads, "And after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias," or Galilee. "And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come," verse 4, "Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. And note the response at the beginning of verse number 7. It reads, therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved. This is in reference to the Apostle John, the author of this book, that disciple whom Jesus loved, saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. It is the Lord. So concerning our Lord's post-resurrection activities and mission before he ascended back to heaven, we see that that seven of the disciples are here by the Sea of Galilee, or on the Sea of Galilee, fishing. And it seems like the disciples have lost their way. Jesus Christ appears to them. He spends time with them and helps them to refocus on what they were meant to be doing. And unfortunately, Peter led the other six disciples astray, and they returned back to their old trade as fishermen. So it seems from the context here that the seven disciples here had lost their way a little, and therefore they were not productive. And the Bible teaches us at the end of the third verse that they'd caught nothing. But when they noted and listened to the words of Jesus Christ, even though they didn't fully identify Jesus Christ, the Bible teaches us they caught a great multitude. And John the Apostle had the discernment to note that he who has spoken to us is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'd like to submit to you that following our Lord's resurrection, that the disciples had lost their way. They'd gone back to their old life. They'd gone back to fishing for fish. Now, Jesus Christ had called them to become fishers of men. And we see within this chapter that the Lord Jesus re-inspires them and helps them to refocus upon what they were meant to be doing. Because you would think that you would be reading in the Gospels post-resurrection, the disciples going into the byways, compelling people to come to the Christ. But we don't read of that. We don't read of that until after the giving of the Great Commission. So I would submit to you, my friend, that the disciples post-resurrection had lost their way. They needed to refocus. And John the Apostle said, it's the Lord. And as we continue to read through the chapter, we will note that the Lord Jesus spends time with the disciples. He fellowships with the disciples. He feeds the disciples. And he instructs the disciples to be about the Master's business. Seems like the disciples had lost their way. The disciples had lost their sense of what I call due north, their focus on the Lord. It seems that today, many of God's people have lost their sense of due north. In the last couple of weeks, I've been saying to my good wife, my wonderful wife, best wife I've ever had, my favourite wife. Seems like a lot of God's people have lost sight of what due north is. Due north is straight north. And it seems like the disciples had lost their way. Jesus Christ, while they were fishing, said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. But here, post-resurrection, they've gone back to their old trade. They'd lost their way. And I'm afraid many today have lost their way. In Colossians chapter 3, the Bible teaches us Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, the Bible reads, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth." It seems like many of God's people today, even within our own church family, have lost their way. They've lost sight of due north. Where's north? Where's upward? Where's the Lord? And I've noticed this over the last 2.5 years of all this COVID pandemonia, that the depth or lack of depth amongst God's people has shocked me. Absolutely shocked me. In fact, disappointed me, to be honest with you. And I'm thinking time and time again, what is it? Why is it that when the going gets tough, the tough are not going? And it seems like the disciples here in John chapter 21 had lost their way. They lost sight or the sense of due north. Now let me ask you this evening, what tool is helpful in accurately determining north? A little instrument called a compass that is always pointed north. And from there you can determine south, east, and west. And for you and I as Bible-believing Christians, how do we determine due north? This is it. This is our compass. And if we can determine due north, then we'll know south. If we know that that's north, we know that is south. That is south, that is east, and that is west. So what is needed to determine due north spiritually? It's the Word of God. And maybe some of us just need to spend a little bit more time in the Word of God. Or maybe some of us just need to spend time in the Word of God. And spend less time listening to the news and all this negativity and all this filth and rot and sin that dominates the world. Because it's caused us to lose sight of what is due north. So post-resurrection, the Lord Jesus had to help these disciples to refocus upon the purpose of his coming and the purpose of why he had spent time with them in developing them and training them for a work. And that work is the Great Commission. Let me ask you this evening, have you lost your sense of due north? I'm afraid many of us have. Many of us. And some are not here tonight because they've lost sense of due north. In fact, some haven't been in church for months. They're blaming COVID, but that's not the real reason. That's not the real reason. They've lost their sense of due north. But maybe you're here in body, but truth be known, you've lost your sense of due north. And I'd like to encourage you this evening to spend time in the Word. The Word of God's our compass. And if we spend time in the compass of the Word of God, God will enable us to keep our focus upon due north, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can truly set our affections upon things that are above and not things that are upon the earth. So the Lord Jesus had to help his disciples to refocus. And once they reached that point of refocusing, and they were pointed northward once again, he imparts to them what we refer to as the Great Commission. And that's spelled out very clearly in Matthew chapter 28, please. Matthew chapter 28. Now, this takes place in a mountain there in Galilee. And if you know anything about Galilee, it's pretty mountainous, especially around the Sea of Galilee. But note then verse number 10, initially, chapter 28, it reads, "Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me." And note verse 16, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain, where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." So Jesus Christ said, within me lies all power, all authority, and I give you that authority from heaven itself to teach all nations, teach and preach the gospel, salvation by faith. Then for those that are converted, they are to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And upon their public declaration of Jesus Christ as their Savior, via baptism, that you are to teach them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. I've commanded you, I've taught you for some 3 years, said the Lord Jesus to the disciples. I want you to take what I've taught you and teach it to those that you lead unto myself. And I promise to be with you even until the end of the world. So God promised his presence, gave authority to the disciples to fulfill a mission that we refer to as the Great Commission. Now, the extent of this mission is spelled out there in the next gospel, Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verse 15. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verse 15. So Matthew's account of the commission gives us the details of that Great Commission. You are to teach all nations about the Saviour. You are to baptize them. You are to teach them everything that I've taught you. But note here in the Gospel of Mark, he focuses upon the scope of this commission. Summed up in verse number 15. Jesus said unto them, Go ye into, say it together, all the world. That's missions. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So this great commission that God has entrusted into our care to make disciples, baptize them, and teach them the teachings of Christ, we are to endeavor to deliver that great commission to the ends of the earth. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Then we go to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. And here Luke records for us some relevant detail as to why we need to be preaching this gospel and baptizing and teaching them the word of God. In verse number 44 it reads, he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and the Psalms concerning me. And note verse 45, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. So we see within these two verses the Lord Jesus highlights to his disciples that all scripture points back to himself as the Savior of the world. Jesus Christ is that only Savior of the world. And he makes reference to the divisions of the Old Testament, all pointing to Jesus Christ, the Savior. Then note then verse number 46, and he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved. That word behoved there means a must, a necessity. It was needful. It was a must. It behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. It was absolutely needful. It was an absolute must that Jesus Christ needed to die, needed to be buried, and needed to come alive from the dead. It was an absolute must, because only in Christ is there redemption and salvation. So Jesus said, all the scriptures make reference to my coming, and it was absolutely needful. It was an absolute must that I die and come back to life once again. In order that, verse 47, that repentance, you need to preach repentance, that repentance and the remission of sins should be preached in his name, note, among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You need to begin right where you are at, and you are to go to the four corners of the earth, and you are to preach repentance, you are to preach the forgiveness of sin, and you are to preach that forgiveness is only possible because Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and rose again. Verse 48, ye are my witnesses of these things. You've witnessed my death. You've witnessed my burial, said the Lord Jesus. You've witnessed my resurrection. And now I'm calling you to go to the ends of the earth and preach repentance and preach the forgiveness of sin. But I'll give you a promise. Look at verse 49. And behold, the word behold means to see, to look upon. Behold, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry, wait. Wait ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with what? Power from on high. So in this account of the Great Commission, the Lord Jesus stresses the fact that all Scripture speaks of me. And he also stresses the fact that it was needful, a must, that I suffer. And then Jesus said, you need to preach repentance, the forgiveness of sin. That's why I had to suffer. And Jesus said, I hold you accountable. You are my witnesses. You're accountable for what you know, what you've heard, what you've seen. But I'm going to be with you. In fact, I'm not only going to be with you, I'm going to give you the power to fulfill my mission. You will be endued with power from upon high to be that witness that I've called you to be. And that's what the Lord Jesus made reference to in the book of Acts, chapter 1, in verse number 8. Shortly before his ascension, verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both, that is at the same time, in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. If you go back to Luke chapter 24, verses 50 to 53 reads, and he led them out as far as to Bethany. So the Lord Jesus leads them from Jerusalem up into the mount, in the Mount of Olives. Bethany is part of the Mount of Olives. He led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. If you go back to Acts chapter 1, note verses 9 to 12 that gives us an account of the same occasion mentioned there at the end of Luke. And when he had spoken those things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly into heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then note verse 12. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet. I told you it was the Mount of Olives, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And there they tarried, there they devoted time to prayer. We don't have time, but if we went into the book of Acts, chapter 2, we see that the Lord Jesus honored his word. And as they prayed, God anointed God's men with the power of God, and the rest is history. So the Lord Jesus, shortly before he ascended up to glory, he gave his great commission. He gave the content. And he shared with his disciples, I want you to go into all the world. And then he spelled out to the disciples that your Saviour had to suffer. And you need to preach repentance. And you need to preach the forgiveness of sin. And then he promised them power, the power of the Spirit of God, to be that witness, not only in Jerusalem, but in the uttermost parts of the earth. And as I think about this great commission that was entrusted to the disciples, and as I think back to John chapter 21, where it seems like the disciples have lost their way a little, thank God that they refocused. Thank God they refocused. Because it was that refocusing upon the Lord that equipped them, enabled them to receive and fulfill the Great Commission. And what disturbs me about many of God's people today that are not focused on the Lord. They've lost sight of due north. Is that as long as they lose sight of due north, I doubt they'll spend much time fulfilling the Great Commission. So we need to pray for one another. Pray for one another. And I wonder this evening, the year is a fourth of the way behind us already. Where have you been heading thus far this year? Can you honestly say that you've been focused on due north? Focused on the Lord? I don't know everything. Thank God I don't know everything. I know enough. But it seems like many of God's people have lost sight of where's due north. What am I meant to be doing? And the effect of that is, the end result of that is that we are not fulfilling the Great Commission. See, I shouldn't be begging you to put in your faith promise card. We only have one more Sunday. And we said at the beginning of last month, the beginning of missions month, at the end of the month, we're going to give you a faith promise card, correct me if I'm wrong, and you'll have a month to give it in. So why are we still begging God's people to make a commitment? And why have many of you not made a commitment yet? Didn't Jesus say, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? Well, what are you doing about it? Where's the commitment? I shouldn't have to beg you every week, put in your card, put in your card, put in your card. That tells me there's a spiritual problem. And COVID's our excuse. Oh, but Pastor, you don't realize what we've all experienced. Yeah, right. I think many of us just need to refocus on the Lord. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. You would have thought the disciples, after witnessing the risen Christ, would have been out on the highways and byways preaching repentance and forgiveness in Christ. But were they? Talk to me. No! They lost their focus. Have you lost your focus? I think many of us have. I'm not having a go at you. I'm just being honest with you. Because what's at stake? The souls of men. Men, women, and children in need of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I'd like to encourage you this evening. Let's refocus. Let's refocus on the Lord. This is the answer. This is God's compass. And if we'll spend time looking into God's compass, we'll see very clearly that's north, that's south, that's west, that's east. And Jesus Christ has given us a great commission. Let's do our part in reaching this world for Jesus Christ. Let's bow for prayer.